One of the greatest attributes that my wife had was that she officially stopped doing any outside lawn work after July 4th. We had our house mostly a large wooded area surrounding our house. So it was an annual battle to keep the jungle from moving in on our lawn. We would still cut the grass after the 4th, but the labor-intensive cleanup was finished. My wife loved to get her hands dirty, and she would work like a dog. I, however, was a bit more dainty. She would do everything with bare hands. I'd have to wear gloves, ew. We would start cleaning up the ravages of winter in early May, and by Memorial Day, we'd be in full swing. She'd be there pulling up fields of mustard weeds, raking and bagging, leaving multiple bags of fallen moldy leaves that had sat around all winter. I would come home from work and there would be a Mount Everest size group of mulch that she had ordered and dumped right in the middle of the driveway. I was instructed to shovel, haul, and spread. To avoid getting disheartened, I imagined myself working on a chain gang like Cool Hand Luke. I only survived that forced labor knowing that the 4th of July had to come. If we had a day off, I'd be outside working from breakfast to dusk, every Saturday and Sunday and even on weekdays. But come July 4th, she was done. My wife would leave everything to its own fate. She would relax and enjoy the summer. I marveled at how she could switch gears. The same woman who earlier would put in 10 hours of digging and planting would now be sitting with her legs up on a couch, cool drink in her hand, and watching television. Summer becomes a time when we often slow down to our ambitions. We reconnect with family and friends. We go on vacation. We take rest. Did you ever think of viewing your relationship with God in that same way? Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. We often try hard to push our relationship with God, to advance it at a pace that we want. We try to pray hard, we receive communion, we sit in the presence of God, we do everything we have read and heard to get closer to God. We are driven to God. And we push forward because it is a noble task, a mission searching for holiness. It is what we've been told that we should do. When I sat where you are sitting, for years I strived for that richness in my relationship with Jesus. It started to become burdensome. Taking time to talk to God was actually becoming tedious. Then I became distracted during prayer, or I'd skip praying altogether, and then I'd feel guilty. At first, I would try harder. I'd try to pray more, read more, worry more. Then I remembered my wife and the 4th of July. I changed my orientation and my approach. I changed from being driven to being drawn to God. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Is this what God wants? Are we supposed to let God do the work? Doesn't he want us to keep fighting for him, to keep searching for him, to jump and cast aside all obstacles on our ways towards him, to take up the sword in his name? My best answer to that is obtaining and sustaining a relationship are two different things. And those two different things require two different mindsets. Think of the difference between dating and being married. They're both wonderful, but they're both very different. It comes down to who is the God you are after? You have heard from this very ambo, I am sure, repeatedly, that our God is not a God of judgment or vengeance. But we often do not have anything better to replace that concept of a punishing God. So we search for a new God. For some, God has become the God of orthodoxy, displeased with the moral laxity that has consumed our world. Others lament the social ills our society has, and their God becomes one of causes and political ideologies. With either image, this new God we created walks around with a frown, seeing the world, offering not his blessings, but his disapproval. What is forgotten is the very first pages of our Bible, that after each day of creation, God saw that it was good. And at the end of his creation, God saw that it was very good. Julian of Norwich, one of the great Christian mystics, who was gifted with visions and conversations with Jesus, described God this way, completely relaxed and courteous. He was himself the happiness and peace of his dear friends, his beautiful face radiating measureless love. Julian describes God as both smiling and relaxed. If you were to describe traits of God, would you include the word relax? Can you relax on your journey to God? Can you sit back and instead of being driven to God, can you let yourself be drawn to God? Coming to God does take work, and the first thing that happens when we open ourselves to the light of Christ is that that bright light reveals some pretty dirty spots in our souls. It takes work to clean the dirt, maybe hard work. But there then comes a time when you must rest in Jesus. We just came off a holiday weekend that seemed to last like 6 days. A time that most of us rested in our ambitions. We rested from work. And it is a good time to transition from being driven to being drawn. Remember, God is well pleased with his Son. And if you follow him, God is well pleased with you as well. So what keeps us from being drawn to God? Why do most of us only very reluctantly be given up driving the bus towards God? What God tells us in today's, Jesus tells us in today's gospel, and he called it the wisdom of God. A wisdom that has hidden these things from the learned and has revealed it to the little ones. And just who are these little ones? Who does Jesus associate with during his life here on earth? Fishermen, tax collectors, the poor, the unclean. Peter, upon whose recognition of Jesus as Lord, says, "Jesus, leave me, for I am a sinful man." Our blockage is that we often make God in our own image and not the other way around. Can you see God the Father as Jesus, his Son, saw him? To Jesus, God was relaxed, smiling, and blessing the earth. You cannot accept forgiveness from a frowning God. In our sinfulness and brokenness, it's easier to come to God when we become like little ones. Ones who see God smiling, welcoming, and relaxed. If you were a little one and going to your mom or dad to seek forgiveness, who would you be drawn to? For me, I would have chosen to come to my wife after the 4th of July. Work hard to get to God, like my wife did every spring. But when you get there, what God did you find? Is he smiling? Or is he frowning? Let the remainder of this summer change your relationship with God from being driven to being drawn. For my yoke is easy and my burden light.